Let's continue on here in Proverbs, the second chapter, and keep in mind, all the way through, all of this is leading up from chapter 1 to the end of chapter 4, leading up to that phrase, above all, guard the door of your mind. Okay, for out of it are the issues of life. And for us today, we're bombarded with so many things. And they're working on techniques on how they can control the human mind and inject thoughts into it. So it's very imperative that we really take serious what we're covering here, see. And this gives us the day-to-day workings of what we need to do. All right, let's continue on here in verse 12. Now here's what it will do. If, then, okay, verse 12, to deliver you from the way of the evil man. And who is the evil one that we're to be delivered from? Satan the devil. From the man who speaks wicked things. Those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, let's stop right here. What happened to the church? They compromise. They let in ways of the world, the goodness of the world. They went to the Protestants to find out how did they understand the Bible. And they gradually began incorporating these things into the teachings. And so what happened? There came a day of judgment and scattering. Those who stuck to the truth of the Bible were able to avoid, you see, the ways of darkness. Verse 14, to keep you from those who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perversities of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and are devious in their paths. Boy, that sounds like the Paul that is over every political capital in the world, right there. Devious. Verse 16, to deliver you from the wanton woman, which then is all false religion. And sex problems. Women like to blame men. Very rarely do they blame women. Women read the Bible and say, well, that's all the Bible talks about is women. What about the dirty men? Well, the principle is this. If the women were righteous, there would be fewer dirty men. And all you have to do to understand this is, as I mentioned, go out through the checkout stand of your supermarket and look at all the magazines that are there. I have surveyed it from this point of view. I don't mean look through and read them, but just survey the headlines, survey the pictures and so forth. And the pictures run from what they call soft porn to almost hard porn right out there in public. All female bodies. I have yet to see a near naked man put up there to be seductive. All right? So God brings it out because if the women are righteous, the men will not be as evil. Not just the way that God made it. Okay? To deliver you from the wanton woman and from the stranger who flatters with her words. Think about all the politicians. Think about all the things that go on. Okay, it's in the news, it's in the paper and everything, so I don't have to get into it. Who forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her paths to the dead. None that go unto her again, or return again, none that go unto her return again, nor do they take hold of the paths of lives. Well, paths of life. Just ask John Edwards, okay? Ask anybody who gets involved in it, men or women. They even have special shows on how to get women out of prostitution. It's hard to come back from that. So notice all the evil that you will avoid if you have the laws and commandments of God, if you hunger and thirst after it, if you use these things to control what goes into your mind, and if you use the Spirit of God to change and grow and overcome. All right, so it shows you're going to avoid all these things, verse 12 down through verse 19. Now, verse 20 then comes out on the other side, see. In order that you may walk in the way of good and keep the paths of righteousness. So tie that in with righteousness above, walking in the way of the Lord, the paths of judgment. All of those things tie in together with it, you see. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Well, is not what happens with the collapse of every great empire? Yes, indeed. Is not what is going to happen when Christ returns? Yes, indeed. See? So, really, when we understand it, see, the Bible is the most up-to-date book in the world. It is eternally correct. And it's right cutting edge with everything that's necessary to fight against evil, go against evil. Okay? Now, let's come into chapter 3 because this tells us a great deal here. My son, do not forget my law and let your heart keep my commandments. We can apply this from father to son, father to daughter, God to each one of us, sons and daughters. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Because what's the first thing that all teenagers do when they get away from their parents and get together with their friends? You know, you always do what your parents said not to do. And when your parents question you, you never tell them the things that you really did. You look back in your own life, and that is absolutely true. Doesn't matter if you're a teenage boy or a teenage girl. So if you control what goes into your mind, you can keep out of these difficult things. Want to live long? Well, for us, it's for eternity, isn't it? Learning about how to be an eternal spirit being. Doesn't that take a lot of work? Think about how you had to educate yourself for what you do in whatever work or business that you're in. Did you have to take classes that were difficult? Did you have to learn? Yes. Well, what about eternal life? Not just for a salary, not just to exist in the world, but to exist forever. Now, how long a life is that? Think about that, see? Okay. Now verse 3. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you, for all of those are part of the mind of Christ. Bind them about your neck. Now, if you have something around your neck, are you aware of it? Yes. This means always keep it in the forefront of your mind and write them on the tablet of your heart. So that you're always merciful, always kind. And so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And isn't that what you want? Have you ever gotten up one day and said, "Oh, I'm glad I'm up here today. Let it be the most miserable, evil, rotten day that I have ever had in my life. I want trouble. I want difficulty. I want stress. I want 10 bill collectors to come bang on the door. I want the sheriff to come and repossess the house. I want to leave the house naked and bare and without a thing." Of course not. See? Well, that's why God says to do it this way. Now notice what this amounts to, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Now, if you have made God's way your understanding, when you lean upon it, then that is God's understanding. Why do not lean to your own understanding? Because the deceitful mind is there. Now you can watch it. I went into the gas station to get some gas, and I had to get in line. And here's a man who came in, bought a whole bunch of these lotto tickets. Now he thinks he's going to win. Everyone who buys them are convinced one day I will win. But out of all of the lotto tickets sold and all of the money collected, of course, this is open deceit, right? How many really win? It's like everything else. Satan has some little winners who are still losers. They win a little bit and they think, ooh, it's going to happen one day. Ooh, it's going to be there. I'll buy some more. See? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, have you ever experienced something where God kept you from a gigantic problem, and you didn't even know it until later? Yes, indeed. That's what we want. We want God to direct us. We want his Spirit in us. We want to follow God's way. See? Now when you do that, you understand the greatness of God, verse 7. Now this ties in with the New Testament, you see. It would be tremendous to have the time to do a study, and really detailed study, tie in all the Proverbs with what Jesus taught. Okay? Now here's one. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Tie that in with the New Testament. Notice the choices. Notice the putting ourselves, using our choices to control what goes in our mind and what is good. And you really don't know it. Verse 8. And it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You know, it's like the reporter came up to this old man. And he says, what do you attribute your long life to? And he says, moonshine, women, gambling, running from the law, lying, cheating, and stealing. And he was taken back. He looked at him, and then he said, well, sir, how old are you? And he says, 30 years old. See, you don't really appreciate what God is saying until later in life when these things come to you. See? Honor God with your substance. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And with the first fruits of all your increase. And your barns shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst with new wine. Now today, how does that work? Stay out of debt. Don't go along with the world. I remember talking to a man that he had so many debts he didn't know what to do. So I asked him, I said, as he was examining his bills, I said, how much a month in interest do you pay? Now, these were on different charge cards and so forth, because he wanted to know what to do. And I said, well, the first thing to do is to get all your charge cards paid out. Pay them off. So I said, how much a month do you spend in interest on the charge cards? Now, if you have a mortgage on your house, you can't get out of that That's just the way it is. But see if you can get your house paid down as quick as you can. But anyway, he figured it up. It was nearly $600 a month. Then I asked him, I said, well, how much do you spend a month on food? Well, with his family and everything, about $700 a month. I said, well, when you get your bills paid off, you will have $1,300 a month, the six plus the seven, see? So today, the way that you have things in reserve and available is you are not in debt. And you give your tithes and offerings to God. That's how it works. It's reciprocal. Now, they have this ad on television where it said, it's more blessed, what was it? It's more blessed to receive than to give. Yeah, that's it. Perfect for Christmas season. Well, that's the opposite of what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than receive. So God has what is called, what you would call a reciprocal thing. God gives to you, and it requires that you give back to him of your substance. Does God give you substance? Life and health and all these things? Sure. Okay? So this is one of the laws that God has given. All right. Now verse 11. Always know this. Correction is going to come. Tie this in with Hebrews, the 12th chapter, about the correction that comes from God. And we need it. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of his correction. Why? Because he's doing it so that we will not be entrapped in our evil. That's why. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Goes right back to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. So what he's showing us here, how we approach knowledge and understanding, the conditions of doing it, the effort we are to put into it, the results that will come from it, how we are to avoid certain things, control our thoughts and our minds, keeps us from evil. Okay? Now, then you will come to a situation where you will be able to, and this is also something, don't get lifted up in it, see? And don't compare yourself with other people to lift yourself up by your mental bootstraps. But there are certain things you can see, all right? Verse 13, because here's what happens. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the gain from silver, and its produce more than the gain of fine gold. Now think of what we covered in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Think of what it started out at the beginning of chapter 2. Search for it. Search for it. Go after the truth. Go after the righteousness. Understand it. Think about how to apply it. Think about how you can use your mind to cut off some of these thoughts that come in your mind, repent of them, ask God to forgive you, and ask God to erase it. That's why the washing of the water of the word ties right in with this. This is how we control, this is how we are able to resist the things that are in the world. And in this world, they're all around us. You know, it's not like in the days when there were very few people around and you could just have a nice plot of land, you could have things in peace. There were no, you know, none of the things that we have now. You'd have your own set of problems back then, but not like today. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all things you can desire are not to be compared with her. Now, think about that relationship to eternal life, see, because what it is with us, controlling our minds and overcoming and being converted and yielding to God, this is through prayer, through study, through prayer, through study, through living, through watching, through observing, through helping, through giving, see? Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone who holds her fast. Now think about that in the way of how it is for us in conversion. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our truth. Christ is our way. He is our life. We are to have the mind of Christ, which what then? How much greater wisdom and understanding can you have with that? Okay, so all of these things are multiplied and amplified by the New Testament. Yet, the Word of God is eternal and is instructive for those who are not converted, so that if they would follow this in the letter of the law, follow this in the letter of the teachings, what would it be? Their lives would be better in that degree. Help them grow up to a maturity so that when they become adults, then they can understand about life and repent and be baptized and receive the Spirit of God. And they don't have all of these upsets in their past life that are going to haunt them the rest of their lives, even sometimes when they're converted. All right, now then he gives some other instruction here, how we can learn and grow in knowledge. This is how then you keep yourself from being exalted, because we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves, and those who do so are not wise. But we are also to see the difference between the way of God and the way of the world. Verse 19, the Lord has founded the earth by wisdom, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, do not let them depart from your eyes. In other words, it all goes back to God. Every bit of this. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they shall be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you shall walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, when you lie down, your sleep shall be sweet. Well, that's what we all need. Today, this world has so many activities, so much stress, so many things going on, that one of the number one advertisements that you see on television are sleep aids. And people can't sleep. Now, there may be various reasons why people can't sleep, but pray for sweet sleep. Ask God to help you in it, if that is your problem. Okay? One of the first things to do is don't worry. Don't worry. Now, it's easy to say, don't worry. And it is true that women worry more than men. And they worry about things that men don't worry about in the same way. And it's easy for a husband to say, quit worrying, and the wife will say, you don't understand. Hey, is that true? Yes. Yes, but what you need to do is lay it all before God and ask God to help you put it there for the night. Don't go to sleep and think about it. What if? What if? What if? What if? If I could do this, if they could do that. What if? What if? And it's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock. What if I'm exhausted? I'd like to get some sleep. What if? What if? And you wake up in the morning like you've run a marathon. Okay? Now, ask God to help you with it. Now, I'm sure that there will be everyone to say, well, that's easy for you to say, Fred. Well, I've had plenty of things to worry about, plenty of things to pray about, and I've had sleepless nights myself. But the way that you handle it is put it all before God. And if you can't see the solution to it, do you think you're going to find it by staying awake at night? See? Maybe not. Get a good night's sleep, then you'll wake up and find the solution. Okay? Have no fear of sudden disaster nor the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Now, we need to claim that promise. Put it right in there, Psalm 91, that is the protection psalm. Okay? And this is what we need to do, brethren. Here, this is a big thing, because there is going to be sudden destruction. There's going to be desolation of the wicked. These things are going to happen. And God is going to have to protect you within the midst of it. Thousands shall fall. Remember the story of the German who survived World War II, working in the repair department in the convoy section of the German army, and no one knew it all during the war. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he would take his Bible, he'd read it, and he would teach some of those who were willing to learn and so forth. But he had to carry a pistol. And he didn't want to trust himself that he would use it against killing someone. So what he did, he carved a pistol out of wood, dyed it just like a regular pistol, and threw his own into the river, and through the whole 3.5 years of World War II, carried that wooden pistol. And when the war was over, and of course his family survived and so forth, so that's quite a long book. I think it is A Thousand Shall Fall. Isn't that the name of the book? Yeah. Yeah. So God protected the family, protected their house, even with all the bombings that went on, protected him from evil, protected him from the persecutors, but he had to go through all the suffering like everyone else did, and no one knew that he had this wooden pistol until they were to give all their arms to the Allied soldiers. And his friend, when he saw the wooden pistol, was astonished. And then he told him what he did, see. So God is able to keep you. Verse 26, for the Lord shall be your confidence, not what you can do, not what you have, not what you own, not other people, the Lord. That's why you have to have a personal relationship with God. For the Lord shall be your confidence, and shall keep your foot from being taken. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back again tomorrow, and I will give when you have it with you. Now, what did Jesus say about giving? Give, and it shall be given to you. How? Shaken down, tamp together, and what are the greatest riches that can be? The true riches, see? Knowledge and wisdom and truth and understanding, fruits of the Holy Spirit, of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, self-control, and all of the rest of which there is no law. Now notice, we have do not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 do nots in a row. Okay? Do not plan evil against your neighbor, since he dwells trustingly by you. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. This is why trying to build a church with carnal means of business, how should we say, patterns or examples, will not work. It has to be built with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the truth of God, you see. That's what's happened to the Protestants. Their first goal is what? Get new people, get them to church. That's the wrong goal. The goal should be preach the truth, preach repentance and baptism, and get them converted. Then they become part of the church, rather than being churched by bringing their presence into a building. Okay? Now let's finish this chapter here and we'll go ahead and call it quits for today. For the crooked man, it is an abomination to the Lord. So if you have CNBC on your cable news network, watch the program called American Greed and see all the devious things that they do. See? And then also on CNBC, they have the program where then they have the entrapping all the pedophiles. And you watch that when they come to the trap. And everyone will say, well, I know this was not right. But do people choose the things that are wrong and evil and expect to benefit? Yes. Same way with American Greed. You watch that and see how they set everyone up and the extreme measures that they take. Now, I'm convinced in my own mind that Bernie Madoff pleaded guilty so no one would kill him because he did what he should not have done to the Jewish community. And that is, you'd never cheat on a fellow Jew, only the goyim. And he cheated on a fellow Jew. And he knew, I better plead guilty and get out of sight. Okay? But, here it is, his secret, you see, secret of the Lord, is with the righteous. Now, what is the plan of God called in the New Testament? The mystery of the kingdom of God, or the secret of God. See? Now, for those who don't have the Holy Spirit, the secret and success of keeping the commandments of God in the letter will be a blessing to those who strive to do what is right. The secret of eternal life is with those who love God, keep His commandments, and have the Holy Spirit of God within them. See? But, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the righteous. Again, put in there Psalm 91. Surely He scorns the scorners, but He gives grace to the lowly. So don't worry about your physical circumstances. God can always change it. See? The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, we are going to inherit the glory of God, correct? Doesn't it say, as we covered in transhumanism, God's transhumanism is what? Transform our minds now through conversion, number one, and at the resurrection to transform our bodies to be made just like Jesus. See, so you can see how the Proverbs fits in with everything that is taught in the New Testament. But it's put in such a way that it is also designed so that people can program their minds of right and wrong, good and evil, truth and lies, diligence versus laziness. All of this sort of thing is here without the requirement for those people in the world who are willing to follow these things that are required for those who have the Holy Spirit of God. God will bless them in His way in their lives. God will bless us in His way in our lives. And the end result is going to be that we shall inherit glory. And of course, is it being cast into the lake of fire the most foolish choice of that anyone would make? Think of that. Yes. You know, and every time I see the Kilauea volcano on the big island of Hawaii and they get up to the edge of it and they do a shot down into the mouth of the volcano and here's the lake of lava, always moving and blurping, and every once in a while it comes up and flows out to the ocean. I think, Man, that's what the lake of fire is going to be like. Now, don't you think it's a stupid thing if a man would stand up there on top, you know, these who like to get their parachutes and leap off at tall heights and parachute down? Would it be the height of foolishness and folly for a man to get his parachute and to jump off there, pull the parachute, and land safely into the volcano? Yes, it would be. Well, so here's how then we can learn from the book of Proverbs and to control what goes into our minds. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.